Thank you for tuning in today. My name's Frankie Mazzapica. The title of today's message is Bring Me a Musician. Bring Me a Musician. Let me just go to the scripture that I'm basing that title on so that everything begins to make sense straight away. In 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 15, it says this, and this is Elisha speaking. He says this, bring me a musician. And when the musician arrived and began to play, then the hand of the Lord was upon him. Then the hand of the Lord was upon him. Just let me be redundant just for a second. When the musician played, the hand of the Lord was upon him. Let me just say it one more time, if you'd let me. When the musician played, the hand of the Lord was upon him. Let me give you a little bit of background. So there was a king named Jehim. He was evil in the sight of God. And he was going into a battle, and his strategy was to go through the wilderness. As they were going through the wilderness, there was no water there. The animals were getting weak. They were getting weak. 7 days had gone by. And so the king said, is there a man of God anywhere who will pray for us? And someone said, well, Elisha is nearby. I'll go ask him to pray for us. And King Jehim went with them. They come up to Elisha and they say, will you seek the Lord on our behalf? Now, Elisha immediately became indignant. He was angered because he does not like King Jehim. I don't know if you can relate to that, where someone you don't like is around you too much. He's looking at him and he's like, I don't like you, I don't like your mother, and I don't like your father. Your entire family, I don't like any of you guys. Maybe he was Southern. I don't like any y'all. And y'all is just one word. I don't like any y'all. And that's true. His mother was Jezebel. His father was Ahab. And when he was just an intern, if you will, his mentor was Elijah. And they threatened to kill Elijah. And there was this major war. At the end of the war, the Lord took care of Elijah and had Jezebel and Ahab killed. It's a massive story. And so now Elijah has gone to heaven. And Ahab and Jezebel, they're dead. And now their son is coming up to him, King Jehim, and he's saying, will you pray for me? And Elisha's like, I've already prayed for you that you would go to the moon and never come back. I've already prayed for you that I would never see you again. Imagine the person at work or the person down the street that vexes you. They come up to you and they even just saying, do you want to go out to lunch? Forget saying, will you pray for me? If I saw you 100 years from now, it would be too soon. Here he comes. He comes up to Elisha and says, will you pray for me? Now, I've got three major points. The first point is how troubled Elisha was with the entire situation. The second major point is how he called for a musician. And the very third point, the very last major point, is going to be how you are a musician. And so let's just dive into the first point. He was vexed. He was angry. He was overcome. And again, imagine over and over again, somebody just constantly bombarding you. This is a very tough thing, because knowing what the scripture tells us to do is a conflict in our spirit. We know that, and you may not know the address, but you know the principle. It's seared in your heart. It's in Luke chapter 6, verse 28, where it says, "Bless those who curse you." Can you let, now, cursing in the Bible, or even cursing anywhere, there's multiple different types of cursing. All of them are offensive. And the reason why I say different types, there's curse words. There's putting a curse on someone. Regardless, when somebody does that to us, in that moment, let's just take curse words. In that moment, you are now, I hate this, for lack of a better, you're an enemy of mine. You just curse me out. So now, this is the game that we're going to play. You're going to act crazy. Well, guess what? I invented crazy. I'm going to meet your crazy, raise you by 10 crazies. You're not ready for this kind of crazy. I'm about to go nuts. And so this is how we respond. The second part says, pray for those who have hurt you. This is a major problem for Elisha. He's troubled. He's conflicted. And so point number two, he calls for a musician. Now, when he calls for a musician, it's as if there is no way that I'm going to be able to forgive you. There is no way I'm going to be able to pray for you. And you know what? I don't even want you to be blessed. I want a front row seat on watching you fail. I want a front row seat. Now, some of us in this room would say, I would never think that. Okay, that's cool. The rest of us are like, Lord, please forgive me. because it's vexing. And usually, we don't have that thought towards every single person. We just end up having that thought towards one person. One. And so here's Elisha, a man of God. And he says, bring me a musician. Now, when he's saying bring me a musician, he's asking for someone to worship in his presence. Just come into the room and worship. In most cases, they would show up with a harp, just like King Saul when he was being vexed. He brought in a worshiper, which was David. So the musician comes in to worship, and I just told you the end of the story already. When that happened, the Lord placed his hand on Elisha. When that happened, the anger, the frustration, the irritation, the what's the word I want to use? The offense. All of that began to just seep away. This is something only the hand of God can do. I believe many people have a knowing-doing gap. They know they need to pray more, but they don't pray as much as they believe that they should. I also believe that the reason for that is people don't know exactly what's happening while they're praying. I wrote a new book called Ignite Your Life, 14 Things That Are Happening While You're Praying. The very first chapter is titled, The Tide of the Battle Shifts Every Time You Pray. You can find that scripture in Psalms 56:9. I also share 13 other things that happen
while you're praying. When you look at this book, when you see this book, you'll notice that it is a small hardcover book, perfect to buy your friends and loved ones. They'll take the book, they'll set it on their end table next to their bed or next to their couch, and at the opportune time, the Holy Spirit will draw them to the book to read about what a relationship could look like if they just took that step and prayed more often. You see, I know that when you read this book, it will ignite your life. Your walk with the Lord will become more passionate. You will feel His presence all the more. You will pray with a new fervency. And you can buy the book anywhere books are sold.
Sometimes we have unforgiveness in our heart. Somebody tells us, hey, you really need to forgive. And what do we say? Yeah, I know. But getting from really being angry, hurt, to forgive, that's like the distance between one side of the Grand Canyon and the other. Only the hand of God can do that. And when that happened, all of a sudden, he was able to pray. Now, let me just take a quick sidebar from Elisha. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, he said, be clear-minded so that you can pray. So here we go. We got Elisha who's saying, I can't pray. Bring in a musician. We got Peter saying, I'm having trouble, and I'm just telling you what I tell myself. Be clear-minded so you can pray. They both have different situations. Elisha is looking at someone he does not like. Not only does he not like him because of what his parents had done, but he is a leader of God's people, and he is sinful. He's wicked. He's looking at a wicked person, and he's supposed to pray for him. And so, now Peter, it's not offense like Elisha. Peter, if you read his story, he's got this self-condemnation. He's constantly beating himself up. He's a person that hides hurt that he is causing himself. Now, in full transparency, between Elisha and Peter, I really don't relate to Elisha. I've been hurt many times, but I really don't have a challenge in forgiving people. I really don't. And the reason for that is I have a really good memory. And I can remember how much, some of you are ahead of me, how much God has forgiven me. I can remember. I can remember. Four of you are like, yeah. Right? I can remember very clearly how much mercy I have needed from God. The Bible says this in, what is it? Matthew chapter 6:15, where it says this, if you do not forgive others, you yourself will not be forgiven. And I'm like, I don't need that. I don't need to not be forgiven. And so I don't have trouble with that. What I do have trouble with is Peter's situation, where I'm constantly fighting the stupid, idiotic, humiliating things that I have done. These things come back over my mind. The sins that I've committed, the enemy brings these things back to my mind over and over again. And it is a battle for me to tell the enemy. God does not see this. The only thing he sees is the blood of Jesus. And if God doesn't remember it, stop reminding me of it because it's gone. I know that's the truth. I know it. I preach it to you. I preach it to me. But that is more of a challenge for me than it is to forgive people, to forgive myself. You may be the exact opposite. It's easier for you to forgive yourself than it is to forgive other people. But in that moment, he's saying, bring me a musician. And he began to feel the weight coming off his shoulders. The same way with Peter, when he was in the presence of Jesus, he felt forgiveness and embrace. I remember I went to go speak at a church in another state, and I had a rental car. I was coming back to the airport. And while I was driving back to the airport, I thought to myself, if Donald Duck were to have preached at that church instead of me, he would have done a better job than what I just did. I know it's not true. I know what you're thinking. Hey, that's the devil. Yeah, it was the devil, and I was losing. I was losing. I'm in the car, and I feel myself going down a spiral of depression. It's terrible. And so I was having trouble praying. All I could do was beat myself up. And so I thought, well, I just missed Sunday at Celebration Church, at our church, because I was at another church. And I thought, I wonder how the service went. So I went to our YouTube channel and I started playing worship. And as the service was going on, as I was listening to the worshipers, all of a sudden I felt the atmosphere in the car completely change. I'm not a big crier. 98% of the time when I'm worshiping or I'm praying, I'm not crying. I'm not a big crier. But in that car, I felt his presence so strong that I had to pull over into an empty parking lot and just cry. I wasn't crying because I was broken, that I didn't do a good job. No, I wasn't crying for that. That emotion was gone. It was gone because as soon as I began to play that worship music, the hand of God just came into the car. Absolutely. Just came into the car. I wasn't strong enough to pray. I wasn't strong enough to worship. But I had called in, if you will, bring me a musician. Bring me a musician. You see, the Lord knows how strong you are. The Lord knows everything about you. In Psalms chapter 116, verse 1, it says this, O Lord, you have searched my heart. You know everything about me. You see me when I sit down. You see me when I stand up. You see me when my thoughts are afar off. You see me when I travel. You see me when I stay at home and rest. You know every thought that I'm thinking. You know everything I do. And you know every word I'm going to say before I say it. When he knows that you are having trouble getting the word out of your mouth, Jesus, I need your help. But you back up and you say, bring me a musician. I'm weak right now. I can't worship right now. I'm overwhelmed right now. Bring me a musician. I'm frustrated. I don't have a clear mind. Bring me a musician. I'm beating myself up. bring me a musician. I'm listening to the devil's lies. I can't hear the Holy Spirit. Bring me a musician. Bring me a musician. Come on, put your hands together. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you with every fiber in my body. When you're in the car, say, bring me a musician. You see, Elisha had to say, bring me a musician, and he had to wait. I don't know how far that musician was, how far that worshiper was. I do know that when David went to go to Saul's kingdom, because Saul was so stressed out that he called for a musician, he had to wait for David to get all the way over to the kingdom. I don't know how long Elisha had to wait for the musician. I don't know how long he had to sit there feeling angry and agitated. I don't know how long he had to wait. I know how long you have to wait. You have to wait as long as it takes for you to grab your cell phone. Because when you pick up your cell phone, there are 1.9 zillion worship songs one peck away. That's how long you have to wait when you say, bring me a musician. That's if you have a phone, you have access to worship. You have access to a musician.
I just wrote a new book. And I believe that it has the power to completely change the entire trajectory of your life. The title is Ignite Your Life, 14 Things That Happen When You Pray. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, it says that God changes the times and the seasons. You see, when you pray, God changes the times and the seasons. I encourage you to buy this book today, anywhere where books are sold.
Let me jump to the third point. The third point is, there are times where you need to call in a musician to change the atmosphere. There are times where you need to call in a musician for the Lord to lay his hand upon you. But then there are other times where you will feel the Holy Spirit drawing you, where you know, hey, I'm going to call on the Lord myself. I'm going to change the atmosphere myself. I think I've given this illustration before, but it's worth giving again. When it's your birthday, or it's Valentine's Day, or it's Christmas, whatever, and somebody brings you a card, you read the front of the card, and you smile, and then you open the card, and you're supposed to go straight to what's already printed in the card. And that's supposed to make you smile as well, because that person took a long time to pick out the card. But if all they did was hand you the card, and they didn't write in the card, you would look at them and say, why didn't you write anything? I know what the card says, but I want to know what you say. I want to know what's in your heart. I want you to tell me how much you love me. I don't want you to just have the card tell me how much. I want to hear it from you. And there are times where you know in your spirit, the Lord doesn't want you to rely on someone else's words when you bring in a musician. He's looking at you and he's saying, I want to hear your words. I will lay my hand on your head, just like I do when you call in a musician. You see, when you're vexed, you can't think. Your mind is going crazy. You need help. You need to call in a musician. But then there's other times where you realize, I am the musician. This is what I'm born to do. I was watching an interview of Kobe Bryant. It was several years ago. And they asked him, do you think you can beat LeBron James if you guys play one-on-one? Now, of course, LeBron James is going to have a different answer because they're competitors. But Kobe Bryant said, one-on-one? No other players on the floor except just he and I, one-on-one. And he goes, I'd win. There's no doubt about it, I'd win. He goes, you have to understand. He goes, one-on-one is what I do. That's what I do. All right, you're ahead of me now. Let me catch up to you. See, you, what you do is a worshiper. That's what you do. That's who you are. And when you do what you do, things happen. Things begin to shift. Things begin to move. I remember several years ago, I would watch these worshipers sing on the stage. And I'd look at them and I'd always think the same thing, and I still do. How do you know that the right note is going to come out of your mouth when you sing? And I remember Frank Sinatra was asked that question. A reporter said, how do you know? And Frank Sinatra with his cigarette, he just goes, when I open my mouth, it just comes out. And I thought to myself, you know what? I can do that. It will come out. And if it's not the first word, I'll figure it out. And I never figured it out. And when I look around, I think, man, there are so many people who can outsing me. But I also say, Lord, they might be able to outsing me, but they're not going to be able to outworship me. This is what I do. Come on. This is what I do.